the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 17th of April, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. And we haven't heard from Denmark for a couple of weeks, so I'm very pleased to say that we've got Nat Danelaw on the show today. Nat, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. I haven't spoken to you since I went to the conference in Finland the other week, I do believe.
You went to the greater Fingolian realms. I hope that you didn't get raided or anything that like that by horse archers. I've heard that the Finns are notorious for horse archery.
I actually found them to be very, very friendly. They said that they think of themselves as a shy people, but I found them to be very friendly and very talkative. Very hospitable.
Yeah, well, it all depends on the amount of vodka they have.
Now, the less we talk about that, the better, I think. We'd better get on to our subject for today. I believe you wanted to talk about repatriation, which fits in really well with something that's going on over here in Britain at the moment. I don't know if you want to introduce it or shall I mention what's happening over here to do with it first?
Let's mention to me what's going on in Britain.
Well, we've been talking about repatriation. We want repatriation and we want to stop to immigration. And the UK government have decided that to put a small amount of repatriation into process. So what they've said is that illegal immigrants will have to go back. And of course, all the first lot of immigrants that we had, which was after the war, that they call the Windrush generation, which is all these Negroes and wasters that came over on board this ship called the Windrush. Well, they've been hanging around like a bad smell ever since. And they didn't bother to actually sign up for citizenship or anything like that. They just thought, well, we can just claim free everything anyway. We can get our free housing. We can go to the hospital and get free medical care. So they didn't actually bother to get any papers. And it seems that a lot of these original illegal immigrants have been detained and they've been deported, which is great. You know, we don't want these people in our country. But, oh, no, they've had to complain about it. They're whining, groaning. And they actually had an hour spent in the Houses of Commons yesterday with these black MPs shouting and screeching at the Home Secretary. And she's bent over backwards to appease them. And she said, oh, no, we can't have this. And we may even pay compensation to the ones that we've sent back already. And I was thinking, well, this is great. They're finally sending them back. But now they're actually going to bring them back into the country. And they said they're going to pay for them to have all the lawyers' fees. They're going to make exceptions for them for the fact that they don't actually have any proof that they have been living here. And the BBC has been interviewing some of these people that we're supposed to be feeling sorry for, and they're absolute wasters. They can hardly string a sentence together. You know, they're very, very low IQ, and we're supposed to be feeling sorry for them. And they've been saying, oh, these people came over to do all the jobs that we don't want to do. Well, surely those jobs after the war, that's finished. Whatever work needed to be done after the war was 70 years ago. What are they still doing here? They need to be sent back. It was disappointing to see what went on in the House of Commons yesterday, after feeling so pleased and happy that they were starting right at the beginning and kicking out the first of the illegal immigrants. But sadly, they've gone back on all of that now. Anyway, yeah, that's my news on repatriation. What's yours?
In terms of politics, especially democratic politics in the modern world, I have come to understand something. At least I read this quote, and whoever said this quote, you know, I will say you're a wise man. In modern politics, expect the worst, hope for the best. I think this is a classic case of this. Finally, you get a stack of papers in terms of suggestions through law that seems, seemingly, appealing. Finally, someone is bringing down the butcher hammer on shitty immigration policies, and just as it gets passed through, the magical switcheroo happens. The tactical, you know, pathos knicker all of a sudden appears, screaming with tears in her eyes, screaming about the inhumanity, and of course, the white guilted idiot, of course, gives in. Of course, how dared she or he ever, you know, to utter the words of repatriation and telling these black animals the party is over, the caskets are shut now, you're not getting anything. But no, that's never going to happen with any sort of political system that has any sort of root in globalist / egalitarian ideas and principles. So, yeah, if there ain't no discrimination, it's never going to catch hold in any sort of thing. But I have heard this, and, you know, speaking of repatriation and what that would entail, I've often heard our political opponents, and I'm sure you have as well, Sven, that that it's impossible. We can't send them home. We can't do it. How are we going to do it? Are we going to force them with rifles out of their houses? Are we going to take them by cattle trucks and force them into shackles and ship them all back to Africa? Is that how inhumane we are? And I've actually pondered upon this and looked at realistic policies that actually could be implemented if we are to go through modern political practice. And, you know, of course, I just as much as anyone, I would love to, you know, take the blacks by the thousands and ship them onto trucks and kick them in the ass onto the ships where they'll be deported back to Africa where they rightfully belong as the black monkeys they are. However, let's talk about something that is feasible, something that the average Joe might be able to understand. A realistic attempt at starving the multicultural and multiracial beast, the whore system of the West. A means, a practical doctrine. I'm talking about pure economical sanctions. Now, let's say that most Western governments grew a pair of testicles and they decided to, as previously mentioned, just to repatriate them, take away their citizenships due to the fact that what has consequentially been given can consequentially be taken away just as easily. Okay. That would, of course, be the ideal scenario for repatriation. But let's talk about sanctioning and actually making the country they're in, foreigners in our countries, as unlivable and unfriendly and as uneconomically viable as possible. Where essentially staying in our country would be more of a hassle economically than it would be a benefit. So let's talk about the Chinese model for removing certain ethnic groups from territories where they see certain ethnic groups as undesirable. In China, it is very common if they have certain ethnic groups moving into prosperous areas that they would very simply, one, increase their taxes. As such an amount of taxes they would have to pay that it would no longer be possible for these ethnicities to be in the area. Two, denial of public services. If said individual in within the area as an undesirable comes to claim benefits, even this might involve free education, free medical care, public transportation, police services, whatever it might be, it will have to be paid for by their own pockets, i.e. they're no longer eligible for receiving any sort of public benefits, any aid from the state. Thirdly, removal of citizenship and right to vote. Crucial point. Likewise, higher taxes upon any product they purchase, and maximum increase of approximately 225% taxes of every product bought in a grocery store will likewise make it impossible for foreigners to stay in the area. Essentially, the whole premise of this, well, let's just call it discriminatory law, is to remove any sort of motivation as well as any incentive for non, you know, indigenous peoples of the area to actually want to stay there, i.e. making it a bigger hassle economically to stay there than to actually, you know, go home.
We just need to make life uncomfortable for them. I mean, partially what you were just describing there, partially this is what the government did. They withdrew public services. And then we were expected to feel sorry for the people that had the public services removed simply because they had been living here. This is their only argument that they have. I said, well, these Negroes, they need to stay here because they've been living here. What kind of an argument is that? What kind of a difference is that between the illegal and the legal migrants? I mean, the illegal migrants have been living here as well. They should all be sent back. And we're being expected to feel sorry for these Negroes, freeloaders, that are just sponging off the medical system. We're supposed to be feeling terribly sorry for them because they've been asked to go back home. They came here 70 years ago. 70 years ago. What are they still doing here? They're only here because they want freebies, and they think that they have a right to have these freebies because they've set foot on our soil. They don't have any other claim to it. They haven't paid taxes because they're not capable of working. I mean, these are low IQ people that can barely string a sentence together. They've bred while they've been here, and they've spawned nigglets, and they've now got grown-up nigglets that are all on the dole as well. None of them have been working, and the British government is paying their respects to them like they're saints or like they're war heroes or something, and apologising to them for this terrible treatment that they've had. They can't prove that they have any right to be in this country. They are clearly not ethnically British, so they should be sent back. We shouldn't be bending over backwards for them and paying for all their bills. Where does this idea come from? That just because you've been squatting somewhere, that then you are now own that. I mean, that's what they're pretty much saying. They're saying that these people have squatters' rights. They've got no proof that they've actually been here. All they have to do is provide four pieces of evidence to show that they've been here for each year that they've been here. And they've got no proof that they've actually been here. They're just saying, I'm black and I'm obviously elderly, so I must have come over with the first lot of immigrants. And because I came over with the first lot of immigrants, I have a right to call myself British. I have a right to take everything that the white British people provided for their descendants. It's absolutely ludicrous. It's sickening, actually. It's sickening to see the politicians grovelling to them.
To the contrary, I think what can be said about the few Negroes that seemingly seem to get a job in Britain or in Denmark, wherever it might be in the West, where these black subhumans manage to get some sort of income through anything other than the state, I think it would be very natural to say that they need to be taxed more due to the inactivity of their kinsmen, due to the fact that their kinsman has now been burdening the welfare systems of the West for 70 years, as you said earlier. I think it would only be fair and a sound assessment to say that when a black gets a job in the West, that they should have to pay at least 85% in taxes just to somehow compensate for the losses the state has through actually bread feeding these, you know, black maggots.
I think that's very reasonable. I think that's eminently reasonable, asking for something like that. They keep talking about how, oh, they've been paying tax all this time. What? Paying tax out of their dole money, paying tax out of their benefits, national insurance out of their benefits. And just because somebody has paid taxes, that doesn't give them a right to live somewhere and to take everything. They should be paying tax. They should be paying for the privilege of being here, for the privilege of even getting a job here. They shouldn't be paying so that they can access all the services that we have here. And if they don't have a job, then they certainly shouldn't be given any benefits. I mean, they cost so much more than us anyway. If you look at the medication, just the cost of AIDS medication for Africans that are over here, it's absolutely phenomenal. It's through the roof. And then they're crying about, oh, if I get sent back home, I won't be able to get the medicine. Well, you shouldn't have the medicine anyway. You never even developed a system of medicine. You know, they just used to chop up albino Negroes and use their body parts. That was their medicine over there in Africa. And now we're paying out millions for them to have AIDS medicine. We're paying out millions for them to give birth over here. We're just paying out hand over fist all the time for people that have just expect more. They just feel entitled to it simply because they're black, simply because they set foot on the soil. And half of these black MPs yesterday, they clearly saw no difference between people that had broken into the country illegally and like breaking into a house and people that had come here legally. They both saw it completely the same. They were saying, well, look at this dreadful treatment of immigrants that Britain is doing at the moment. This dreadful atmosphere that's come about since Brexit, this right-wing government, which, you know, just makes you want to spew when you hear them calling the Tory government a right-wing government. I mean, they're all, you know, it's a completely as far to the left as you could possibly get. And anyone that actually is right-wing or nationalist gets accused of being a terrorist. And yet what we're talking about is just eminently sensible policies. Why would you fling open your doors to a load of savages to come into your home, say, here you are, here's my fridge, help yourself to the fridge, help yourself to my wife, help yourself to my daughters, sleep in my bed, I'll pay for everything, here's the keys to the car, and by the way, you can also accuse me of being nasty to you and mean to you if you want to the police, and get me locked up as well for doing it. And we get no thanks. That's the equivalent of what is going on to the country. You know, you just got to think about it as if somebody was burgling your house, breaking into your home. That's what's going on. We don't owe these people anything at all. If they did jobs when they came here after the war, the jobs are over and done with. Why should we have to keep paying for it?
Precisely. And again, it all boils down to, this is a classic example of, as soon as these black people start coming with their crocodile tears, what should immediately be said to that is, well, quite frankly, sir, that sounds like a you problem and not a me problem. It's as simple as that. And with that being stated, I guess you couldn't say it any more clearly that you can't take foreign peoples, even though that they declare themselves to be brave British patriots or Danish patriots, and how they owe so much love to the old oaks of old Britain. The only reason they have any loyalty to our systems, and the only thing that secures their loyalty to our nation, is putting it very clearly, the fact that we have stability. The fact that we have a welfare system, that is the only thing that actually gives them any sort of loyalty to Britain. And I guess you couldn't, and I guess that is even more evident through the fact that even when they're put into parliament, they act contrarily to the interests of the British people. And they will always react in the interests of their own people, black Negro race. And as result of that, we just saw it in your parliament. They started spewing their subhuman guttural lamentation, and they act in contrast to your people's interests.
It was the most animated I've ever seen. The big fat black MP called David Lammy, who was throwing his arms around and screeching about his kinsmen, and he only ever advocates on behalf of other Negroes. You make a good point there about them having no gratitude to us. I mean, they even brought up slavery on the floor of the Houses of Parliament. Slavery, and we are the people that did away with slavery. There's a meme that's going around at the moment about how in to enable us to do away with slavery, we took out a massive loan so that we could pay everybody off, and that loan had to be paid off through taxes, and those taxes weren't fully paid off to pay this loan off until 2014. So the white man was paying to free the Negro right the way up until 2014. People today that are working today were paying so that the Negro could be free. And we're told that we are somehow to blame for slavery. And there's also a point about this, the propaganda they've been showing for this. They've been showing the back in the 50s, when this boat full of savages turned up, they made all these adverts, Pathé, black and white cinema films, telling us that these people really loved Britain and they were desperate to come to Britain to bring their special gifts, their unique gifts to Britain. And they would show you pictures of one dressed up as a nurse and another one would sing a little song. And then it would show you a picture of a queue of them. And they're just exactly the same as the ones we see today with their hands out. Just these grumpy, mean-looking faces glaring at us, saying, give me what you've got, white man. And then the voiceover over the top is talking about how wonderful they are and how racist the whites are. Exactly the same as today, only it's a lot more subtle today. But you can see that, and you can see that this has just been deliberately done right since the start. You can just imagine these Jews that were pushing this, salivating at the thought of replacing white people, of pushing Negroes into a white country like Britain. All the interbreeding that was going to go on, all the fights that were going to go on, all the trouble that the Negroes were going to bring. I mean, you can just see that Happy Merchant meme rubbing his hands together in glee at everything that was going to happen. And it's all come true. And they just pushed out this propaganda telling us a pack of lies about how wonderful the Negro was, knowing that nobody in Britain knew them. Nobody else knew any different.
It's funny how they bring up slavery. It's funny how the black race of all people are the ones to bring up the question of slavery. As you mentioned earlier, the Brits were the first to abolish slavery. And from what I remember, the merchants themselves were quite significant in terms of the slave trade in the 18th century. But let's actually have a look at some facts here. Because from what I know, in one of the greatest and biggest nations of Africa, Nigeria, they still seem to have quite a lot of problems with, you know, legalized slavery. From what I remember reading, there's approximately 700,000 slaves right now in Nigeria. I think, and I know that it is often said that people with low IQs often think very, very highly of themselves, but it is hard to imagine how anyone could think so highly of themselves that they essentially become hypocrites in the most clear definition of the word. I mean, I'm sure you've read the statistics, and I think we talked about that in the last nigger episode we had here a month ago or something like that. We talked about the rapid expansion of Africans in Africa. How wasn't it like they were going to increase in the next 10 years or 20 years or something like that, from the number of like 2.2 billion Africans to 3.4 billion Africans? Wasn't it something like that?
Yeah, it was even more than that. It's just infinity Negro. I mean, they reproduce at an exponential rate, eight or nine children that they have. They've evolved to have a completely different way of bringing up children than we have. We have less children and invest lots of time in educating them so that they don't die. And the Negroes just breed as many of them as they possibly can. And as soon as they're weaned, that's it. They can fend for themselves because they had a high death rate in Africa. But now that we've interfered and fed them all lots of medicine and antibiotics, they don't die off at the rate that they used to. So they've increased massively. And it's just a black plague. You bring up slavery there. I think Mauritania, the country of Mauritania, that only did away with slavery since the year 2000. And slavery is the only economy that Africa has ever known. They talk as if we invaded the country and stole the Negroes and treated them badly. That's not what happened at all. The Negroes sold their own Negroes. That was the economy of Africa. You would go to the neighboring village and you would kidnap some Negroes and you would turn them into slaves. And those Negroes would be praying that they would get sold to a Jew so that they could get taken to America. Because if they weren't, they would get killed when the chief died. When their master died, they would be killed as well, or their children would be eaten. I mean, they were treated terribly. But these Jews would come, they would own the boats, and obviously they'd have Gentiles working on the boats because Jews don't work, but the Jews would own the boats. They would pull up on the beach at Africa, and they would buy these slaves, and then they would bring them back to America, where they would be treated like they were members of the family by the slave masters. They saw them as if they were children. They clothed them. They taught them how to read and write. They fed them. They gave them medicine. They even imported negresses for them because they didn't want the male slaves to get lonely. They imported negresses, especially so that the Negroes could marry them and imitate the white man. And they had mock marriage ceremonies and they were allowed to live together. And this is completely the opposite of the way that slavery worked in Africa. I mean, they were so lucky to get taken to America. To think that they're so ungrateful now, they say, oh, the white man enslaved us. The white man did everything for them. They wouldn't even be able to... I mean, how can you have Negro MPs in Parliament speaking against the white man? They wouldn't even be there if it wasn't for us. They wouldn't even know how to read or write. Not even wear clothes.
I mean, just to bring a concerning number to the table, in Nigeria, in 2006, they had 140 million people. Within the time period of 4 years, and due to demographic counts in, I think it was, in 2010, the number had increased from 140 million to 152 million. That's 12 million neo-Negroes in approximately 4 years.
That is absolutely shocking figures there. And they do. There needs to be a cull. Normally in nature, there would be famine, there would be disease, there would be all sorts of natural catastrophes that would happen that would thin out the herd. And we just don't have that anymore. And now our own countries are being taken over by the Black Plague, because they're certainly not likely to have a famine in Britain or in Denmark. They're not likely to catch malaria, but they bring all their diseases with them when they come here. We've now got tuberculosis and we've got all sorts of diseases that have actually been eradicated for the last 100 years in the white world that are now turning up again in our city centres. There is no possible reason whatsoever for keeping them here. They need to be repatriated, and it doesn't need to be done in a mean and nasty way. As you say, it can just be done by making the situation for them here uncomfortable. And we can put up the taxes on them because they should be paying more tax anyway. We could cut their access to the public facilities, and we could even offer incentives for them to go back. I mean, this is the real thing. It'd be cheaper, instead of paying out all these welfare benefits, just to say to them, we'll give you £10,000 to go back to Africa. I mean, they can go back to Africa, they can be a king, they can buy their own
slaves. You're forgetting
slaves.
Something.
What's that?
You're forgetting this special bonus offer they can also get.
What would that be?
Which is, they can get the £12,000, but they can get an additional £3,000 if they agree to a sterilization.
Good idea. I was just thinking that as you said it. Extra bonus for being sterilized. I mean, that would solve the problem. But of course, that would be getting close to eugenics, and we can't have eugenics. But the whole breeding pattern of the world has been turned dysgenic.
It's volunteering sterilizations where they volunteer.
Well, that's it. We could offer them a reward. We wouldn't be forcing this on them. It needn't be mean and nasty, but it has to be done. It really has to be done. The National Front have a saying: "Stop immigration, start repatriation." And that should be what all of us are saying. We just need a politician with the balls to actually say it in Parliament, because at the moment it's only fringe parties in Britain, and I bet it's the same in Denmark, in Germany they are. The alternative for Deutschland, they're brave enough to say we need repatriation. But, it's not enough to just stop immigration. We have to send the ones that are here back home as well. Nat, thank you very much.
Let me up it. Let me up it a bit. Let's change the slogan.
Go on, improve on it.
Sterilization and repatriation.
We need to fit sterilization in there as well. Stop immigration, start sterilization, end up with repatriation. Okay. thank you very much for coming on today, Nat. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with another Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.